When I met Wendy, she was in Wellington's, a white overall. She had a steam cleaning lance in her hand and was de-waxing cars in a hangar near Lichfield. But I saw through the wellies and I saw through the white overalls and the steam cleaning lance, you know, and I saw there a person, you know, who, I don't know, first of all, I just thought, this person needs Jesus in their life, because she was so...
I told you not to mention
that. No, I know. She was so depressed and...
Now when we met, down. I was in a bad place, spiritually and emotionally and everything else, and God knew, you know, and he brought us together.
He did.
He did.
Yeah. And so...
You're going to cry? No.
No, and it was quite a strange encounter. I asked, and one of her words to me on our few dates we had in the early days, she said, "I don't think I'm going to marry you."
"I'm not getting married."
"Well, I'm not getting married,"
she
said.
"You never even asked me."
No. She told me that without even thinking about it. She said, "You know, that was a real good starter, wasn't it, to a relationship? I don't think we're getting married." You know, well, 40 years on, you know...
He thinks the lady doesn't protest too much.
In fact, over 42 years on, because that was... I've known each other about 2 or 3 years before we got married. You know, we can just praise God for that meeting. It was a chance meeting with employment, you know, how it just happens, and you're just there. My colleague, car salesman, first thing he wanted to do was look, she had a ring on her finger. And I just saw the face, and I thought, this woman's in such a mess. I just saw that.
Andrew was sort of like nervous about telling me that he went to church. It took me to say to him, "Why can't I see you on a Sunday and a Tuesday and a Friday?" And in the end, he said, "Well, you know, I go to a youth group on a Friday and I actually go to church on a Sunday." And I said, "Well, can I come?" God was just, you know, God was primed us, and he was just waiting for one of us to say something.
At the very first meeting, she came to church, the preacher said, "Anybody here would like to give their life to Jesus?"
I ran to the front.
For the next 8 weeks.
No, it wasn't that many.
She put a hand up every week. The pastor took her to one side and he said, you know, Wendy,
you only
dear,
have to do it once.
You only have to do it once.
And I said, it can't be that easy. No, and it hasn't been that easy, no. But, you know, it is easy to actually accept Jesus, and then he works in you, you know.
So it was a chance encounter that happened, whatever. And I just praise God for that meeting 43 years ago.
Right. By the way, the pictures of our wedding, bear in mind it was the early 70s, you know, and that's how... You're dressed in them days, isn't it? It was brown. It was brown, that dress. It just that they were slides that my dad had taken, and they came out darker than they should have done. I wrote some notes because when I want to study or pray or anything on my own, I always go in our bedroom because Andrew is usually busy with the TV or something in the other room, and I usually fall asleep. But I was determined yesterday I was going to write something down, because otherwise I'd just ramble. And I got out my little treasure chest that I've got. It's a little vanity case, to see if I could get some inspiration, because in there I keep all my really old stuff, like the baby bracelets when the kids were born and things like that, and a stopper off a champagne bottle, which I can't remember what that was for now. And I found all our, all the love letters that Andrew sent me. Because when we met, we'd only been going out a few weeks, and he'd already booked a holiday to go to Benidorm with somebody he worked with, and this other chap dropped out. It was a man, yeah. And he went on his own. So, of course, we'd only been going out a few weeks, and he went on his own. And I've kept all the letters that he wrote me. He only went for a week. I must have 4 letters there. And they're so lovely. I said, "You need to read them, dear. Give you some sort of inspiration." Just, you know, just so sweet. He actually sent me a telegram in that week as well. I think that was the week. And my mother went mad because she said, "You only get telegrams if it's bad news." She says, "My heart was going when you got this telegram." It was just to say that he loved me.
Aww. Stop.
Anyway. Anyway, on a serious note, well, the pastor that married us said during the service, those who pray together, stay together. And we've never forgotten that. It's so true. And one of the good things about praying together is that you get to know each other more through prayer. Sounds weird, that, but it's amazing what you talk to God about that you might not talk to each other about in general conversation. And I, over the years, I've heard Andrew's heart through prayer, and I think he has mine, because we tell God so much more than we tell each other. And I just wanted to say that praying together is an intimate thing. It's almost more intimate than the relations that you have, you know, physically with each other. It is such an intimate thing, praying together. And it's hard sometimes to do it, because you can be very... you can be annoyed with each other, or you know. But praying brings you so close. There's something about that link between you and God. Like that first video we saw, I hadn't seen that before. You know, you pray that you'll love God more than you love each other, because by doing that, you do love each other more. Do you see what I mean? And I just... And that is, you know, my heading was put God first in everything, and I think that is what matters. When we got married, the long story beforehand, but my mother wasn't keen on the Pentecostal church. She thought it was a bit strange, especially in the early 70s with all the flower power and love and all that. So she wasn't happy about, you know, us getting married. And I actually said to her the one day, I said, Mom, if I don't marry Andrew, I will still go to the church. It might not be that church, but I will still go to church because I have accepted Jesus. Jesus came first, although I met Andrew first. So anyway, after our wedding, and I actually prayed that nobody would speak in tongues. Do you know, I wouldn't pray that now. I'd say, all of you pray in tongues, you know. But I was frightened to death my mother was going to walk out because she didn't understand it or anything. And so I did pray that. And also, just as a side, I was ill for a whole week before we got married. And I, in my naivety, I said, Lord, is this your way of saying you don't want me to marry Andrew? I really want to marry him, but if you don't want me to, I won't. I had a thing called pharyngitis. I'd never heard of it. I couldn't talk. My voice had gone. My throat felt like I was swallowing glass. And anyway, I got well enough for the rehearsal that I could just about squeak out the words. And on the day, perfect. You know, I didn't feel God. It was God. It was an attack of the enemy. But I didn't understand, as a very young Christian, all that entails. And I had to learn over the years, you know, that God doesn't condemn us, he convicts us, but he gives us a way out if he's telling us something. I mustn't get too much off the beam here. Tell me when I've said enough.
I never said a word. Right?
Now, I just like, you know, I'll read what I've put here, because otherwise I'll just ramble. God has been good to us and through us in the last 40 years. We've had bad, sad and difficult times, but God has been with us through them all. And, you know, I'm not just sort of like glossing over that. We've had some horrible times, really, well, but God's been with us through all them. And we've had some wonderful, amazing, happy times, and God's blessed us so much, and he's been with us through all them as well. God rejoices with us, and he's sad with us, but he's always with us. That's the main point. We've been so blessed with two beautiful kids, a boy and a girl. And they married people we were pleased for them to marry. You know, my son was going out with a girl that was so wrong for him. And so I prayed, Lord, bring the right wife across his path. And I told him, I said, I'm praying for the right wife. He said, well, you know, I said, no, she's not the right one. And long story, but as it turned out, she definitely wasn't the right one. And his childhood sweetheart came back into his life and they got married. And they're Christian, you know, it's wonderful. God just so blessed us in that way. Now, Sarah, she married a lovely fella, and I believe he knows the Lord in his own way. And I believe for him to get to know the Lord even more as time goes on, but he loves her to bits, and that's, you know, and it's wonderful. God's and he's blessed us with three fantastic grandchildren, two boys and a girl, and it's wonderful. And I just want to read a couple of verses from Scripture, because I think, you know, it all comes back to God. It all comes back to Jesus, and it all comes back to the Word. And Proverbs 31 is about the virtuous wife. Now, I can't claim to be all that that lady is in the Bible. But I strive towards it. I'm the sort that gets up early and works to provide, don't I? I always do that bit. But anyway, the one verse that I like to read is verse 28. And it's, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. And if I can have that from my kids and from my husband, then I am truly blessed. And my daughter sent us a lovely card for our anniversary, and she put, I can't remember the word that she put. I was going to bring the card. Basically, she was saying, if our marriage can be as good as yours, you know, we're going to be all right. You know, she... Inspiration, that was it. It was an inspiration to them. And that, you know, if we can, life doesn't always turn out that way, but if we can be an inspiration to our children, we've done well. You know, we're on the right track. And Ephesians 5, that's the marriage, the bit that is very often said at weddings. Ephesians 5:28. I love this, because my brother-in-law always used to say, obey your husband, to submit. That's it, submit. I said, yes, but love your wife as you love yourself, you know, and the two go together. You can submit if your husband loves you in the way that he should. So it says in Ephesians, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You know, and if you can have that in your marriage, that's wonderful. And that's all I wrote, so I won't say any more, because I could go on all day. I mean, one other thing I will just say. When we've had real crisis, I'm amazed. You know, I am still amazed at how God comes through. My son was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 21. Long story, I took him to be prayed for by the elders of the church. I told him, we believe that you are healed, Matthew. And he said he believed. And he had a CT scan which said, months after, which said he had multiple sclerosis. And I said, Matthew, you're already healed. It took months for them to do the CT scan. In that time, he was healed. And he has never been ill since. And he's coming up 40. And he was 21. And God answered our prayers so marvellously. And I think when we're under pressure, it was a life and death situation. I'd seen people with that sickness. And I said, I'm not having this, Lord. And he healed him. And then when my daughter had her daughter, I've never been through such an horrendous time. It was as if I was having the baby. And I felt at one point, because it was a four-day job, I thought I was going to lose either her, the baby, or both of them. And I cried out to God again, come on, Lord, yeah. I don't want this. And he heard our prayers, and she's got this beautiful little daughter now, and everything's
good. I just want to read something, and I'm going to sort of wander out. The whole purpose of doing this today was wear the headset. It's never happened because there's so much happening today. Jeremiah 18, just a few verses, just the first four verses, Jeremiah 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. And that's what I want you just to remember this morning, those last few words, shaping the pot as it seemed best to him. And this is just a wonderful picture of God speaking to the children of Israel who had really disappointed him. And have gone away from him, and he's saying to them that, you know, that go and tell them this is what's going to happen. It is me that's going to shape you. I just wanted to just share for a couple of minutes this morning on the potter and the clay, and you know, just to say that our whole 40 years of life, even my whole life, has seemed to have been, you know, it's not like God made the pot, Andrew, and there he is. It's like I've been on the pot for 63 years, on the potter's wheel for 63 years, and it's a continual process of him building me. I don't know any of you that's done pottery. We did a little course while we were, you know, in our sort of younger years. We went to night school and did pottery. I did obviously a lot of pottery at art school and college over the years, and sculpture and things like that. But you know, when a potter is sat at his wheel and he's drawing the clay up to form a pot or whatever it is that he's making, you know, you only need a tiny little bit of grit in the clay and it spoils it. And the Hebrew word here, as you look in the scripture for this, when he actually says, where it says here, the clay was marred, it means spoiled. You know, but it wasn't God who spoilt the clay or the potter that spoilt the pot. It was, there was something in the clay that was marred. You know, and if you're drawing a pot up through your fingers and getting height on it, and a bit of grit gets under your thumb, suddenly, whoo, you know, the top of the pot goes, or it folds in on itself, and it's amazing. It's like that. And I just wanted to share this because I really believe God's laid this on my heart for somebody here today, and maybe more than one person today. But I just believe, as I've said, that our 40 years of married life has not been 40 years of bliss. People may look at us now and say, well, they've got it all together, everything's been fine. I'll tell you what, you know, it's been less than altogether. It's been less than fine. There are times when I could have killed her, and times when she could have killed me. It's times when we went through stuff which was so awful and terrible, you know, that only God brought us through it. God and friends who loved us and cared for us, you know. And at times, you know, I felt in my life like the pot that I'd been made into had got cracks in it and was hard, you know. And I just want to share this picture that God gave me last night as I was preparing my heart to speak this morning. And he showed me a collection box of broken bits of clay. And so much more. This morning I had to get up and I had to look it up and find out about this. But I saw this box of bits. And it's the marred bits that had been thrown into the box as the potter continued to make the pot, and the bits that were rubbish sort of thing were thrown into this box. I've got this box of bits, half finished cups and plates and things smashed into pieces and thrown in there, you know. And I always remember when we were at doing night school that if there were any hard bits of clay that had been left over, you know, all you had to do really was to put them into a bucket and pour water in over the height of the clay bits and leave it 24 hours, and suddenly you've got a mush again which you had to dry out, but that drying out process would work, and then you could actually work it back into a piece that you could slam on the wheel and push that wheel again and start to form something. You know, and I felt like a word for people here this morning. You know, you may feel your life's in bits, and it's in the discarded tray. And God says, no, I can take that discarded stuff and I can make it into the beautiful vessel that I want to make it into. It's not discarded, it's not wasted. It's parts of life, and it's parts of our life that we've lived together that I really wanted to forget and I really wanted to push to one side. You know, but God can take those bits, those broken pieces, those broken times, those times of loss, those times of losing family members, those times of death, and times of when, you know, even in our own marriage, we could have quite easily walked away from each other. But, you know, people through the Lord came around about us and they spoke into our lives and they kept us on track. It was like that water that was poured into the bucket of the bits, and that God put his hand in there and he squidged it all back again and slapped it back on the wheel and said, now I'll continue forming you into the way I want you. And that's how I felt. I felt that our whole 40 years especially has been a time of being on the wheel. You know, as yet, I don't think I've reached that perfect vessel. You know, I don't think we ever will. One day we'll see God in glory and Jesus will present us to the Father as that perfect vessel. But I just feel we've been on the wheel 40 years and counting. I put a little post on Facebook this morning. 40 years now, I can see gold. You understand what I'm saying? It's next one, it's the gold. I can see gold. You know, who would have thought we'd have lasted 40 years? Many people would have given us 5 years or 10 years. But 40 years. 40 years where God has picked the bits out of the discarded tray. Poured his Holy Spirit into it. Mixed it together again. Got it supple and pliable. And put it back on the wheel. And carried on pushing it around. And carried on drawing us up. You know, we get marred bits. Bits of grit. Bits of life. They get in the way. And really sort of stop us from coming into that beautiful relationship with Father. And Father just wants you to know. And he wanted me to know as well. That, you know, there's no discarded bits as far as he's concerned. Whatever the potter has discarded, he can use those bits and make a beautiful vessel out of them. That's my prayer for every one of you here this morning. You know, God's not finished with you yet. There's work in progress. And I just pray that just as we have had to come together and give and take, you know, remember today we can say remember the good times, remember the bad times. There's been a lot of both, you know, but I just thank God for friends. I thank God for people that God has brought us into contact with that have been able to come and just to sit with us and pray with us and minister to us. It's been like that water that regenerates the bits of broken clay and makes us into the vessels that God wants us to be.